Welcome back to another episode of the Swing Hard Podcast. This is an episode I've been waiting for a little while because I've got Sam Hart, our head golf professional here with Bears Paw Golf Club. Sam, how you doing today?
I'm really well. Thanks for having me, Barry.
Yeah. So one of the reasons I've been waiting so long to have a conversation with Sam, and we've both known this, but I guess we just haven't really talked about it recently. You are the longest person on our team for Windmill for our courses. We've gone back a long time.
It's been a while. Yeah. It's been a long time. You know what? Lots of good memories, but yeah, it's almost 13 years.
Yeah. So before we get into that, because I think we probably got some fun, interesting stories that we can go back many, many years to talk about. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got into golf and a little bit of your history with golf?
Yeah, for sure. So originally from St. John, New Brunswick, moved to Hampton, New Brunswick when I was 12 years old or so. Started the game up pretty quickly after that through a family friend.
Yeah.
He gave me my first set, bought my first half membership, started in June. It was about $150 and played every day. And It was kind of a passion that started kind of right out of that. And the next summer I applied to be a starter at the golf course.
Yeah.
And it all kind of went from there.
So you started at 12.
Yeah,
and I knew that. I knew you had a little bit of later start than a lot of people that are in your position today. You know, a lot of kids are starting pretty early, but you just gravitated to the game immediately, fell in love with it, and played every day, like you said.
Yeah, I did. It was played every sport I could possibly get my hands on as a as a youngster, and golf just ended up being the one that stuck. I think you can play golf well into your old age, as we're proving now.
Yeah,
and It just stuck.
Right. So one of the things that I think about myself when I think about how long I've been playing golf is when I kind of peaked. Like, I think I was my best golfer when I was like 16. What age was that for you then?
I was probably 19 or 20. It was my first year out of college. I went to school in PEI and then at Holland College, which I can kind of get into in a bit, but ended up moving to Kelowna. And that summer at Kelowna, I played, 150, 160 rounds. And that was probably my peak.
Okay.
Yeah. Under par was good. Over par was bad.
You know, why I think it was 16 for me is I moved to California. I haven't talked about this on the podcast, to play high school golf for a year. I thought I was a good golfer until I went down there.
Yeah.
And then, actually kind of burst my bubble a little bit. And so I kind of feel like that was my peak. I was pushed, a lot at my junior year in high school, 16, 17. But I was curious because you were 12 and, probably took a little bit longer to build up, but you played so much golf in your late teens and early 20s that that's interesting.
Yeah, I was pretty bad as a kid.
Right.
It took a long time for me to kind of figure out the game, one that I love, but it was, so I can empathize with the struggles of people as they start the game for sure. I think that time in Kelowna was, it just allowed me to play more. It was the first time that I'd actually played that much, whereas before it was kind of limited what I could or couldn't do. So that's kind of what got me.
Yeah. Okay. So as I first mentioned, we've been working together a long time. Why don't you share your side of the story on how we met and maybe some of our first interactions, and I'll interject and cut in if there's something a little astray here.
I figured you might cut me off if you had to. I was in golf basically my whole life. Like I said, 12, 13 was a starter at the course. Ended up going to college for golf, professional golf management program at Holland College in Charlottetown, PEI. From there, I spent 3 years there and kind of bounced around. I went to Jasper for a summer and worked at the Canadian Golf Academy under some pretty amazing instructors for a year. And then, ended up moving out to Kelowna. And it's at Kelowna that I kind of shifted to Calgary.
Right.
And I was working in the cabinet business, actually. I picked up a trade and I wasn't good at that either. And but found my way. And then it started to slow down. I think that was kind of, 2007, 2008 in Calgary, when everything was kind of booming. And then it started to decline a bit. And I was thinking, man, I just need a place that I can play golf. I worked back shop. I did pro shop. I did everything.
Yeah.
So I'll just get a job somewhere and hopefully they'll just let me play golf for free. That was what I was thinking.
Right.
And I can remember, walked into one of the courses that you had just opened up in 2009, that would have been.
Yeah.
And I basically said, hey, look, I'm just looking for a job. Met you. We were both pretty young. And I gave you my resume and you kind of looked over the resume and you were like, why do you want to work in the back shop? I was like, well, I got this cabinet job and I'm doing okay, but it's starting to slow down. And you're like, you have a professional golf management diploma and a, you know, 3 years doing golf. Like, why don't you just help me run the place? And I was like, oh, okay. That right. sounds pretty good. Like, that was my interview.
Yeah. And we stepped.
I think you might have just been desperate.
Yeah, probably. But you stepped into the golf shop there out of the gate pretty quick.
Yeah. 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 We basically remember we were sitting, we I think we ran the entire place from that one, like 8 foot desk behind yeah. the counter, both yeah. sitting side by side, working on whatever it is that we were working on.
Yeah. Those were back in the days where we were both getting up very early behind the golf shop counter, checking people in, creating tee sheets,
yep.
managing the operational side of things.
There wasn't many others besides you and me kind of doing the nuts and bolts behind the scene. Everybody else was right. kind of doing their part, but it was a frantic kind of duck underwater, you know, feet underwater scenario for you right. and I for a while, for sure.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely one of those scenarios where you fake it before you make it, because there's a big learning curve. And you know, I grew up around golf, right? So yeah. there's nothing foreign to me. But yeah, I mean, gosh, that was, you know, I was in my late 20s then. And it's
yeah, and back. I was my early mid-20s.
Yeah, so, maybe yeah. I was about 30. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, yeah. So I 30, 31, I think I was actually. So anyway, it was a long time ago. It was a good experience. I know you've got some great stories from some of the early times that we worked together, and some of the interesting things that I had to do. Yeah. Tell me, or that I asked you to do. Tell yeah. me about a few of those things.
I think the best one is probably the very first day I started working. So when I accepted the job of yeah, you come help me run this golf course. I'm like, okay, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I remember I showed up the first time and you were like, okay, so the first task I've got for you is I need you to go down to the maintenance building. And I've got some signs that need to go up around the city, and I just need you to find some important places to put these things. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, great, sounds good. Like
right.
a couple of signs. I showed up to the maintenance building, and there had to have been 15,000 easy of these white corrugated chloroplast signs that said, I think it said free golf and a phone number. Because we're just trying to build this database at, right. at these courses. I'm trying to, you know, remember the whole those saying of he with the biggest database wins.
Yeah.
And we were trying to find a way to get more people through the door and obtain some contact information that we could tell people about, you know, what was going on at the courses.
Right.
And my first day, the entire day, all I did was drill holes with this like 2 foot auger bit into these giant stacks of signs
yeah.
so that I could prepare to then zip tie them
right.
to anything I could possibly find.
You know, this, I remember this very clearly because I did a ton of this. This yeah. was Guerrilla Marketing 101 at its finest.
Yep.
And we spent days, if not weeks, putting those signs up on stop signs, on holes, on everywhere.
Do you remember that we get the calls and we've taken down some of your signs? You're like, yeah, it's fine. We've got thousands yeah, <that's> more.
We've got 15,000 more. No big deal.
And the first, just so everybody knows, my first place, because I thought I was really smart at the time, that I went to do, which was really far away from the golf course, was actually your neighborhood.
Okay.
And the first place that I did was, I didn't do any on the main street, but I did it on every single roadway that led to the main street.
Right.
So that you couldn't leave a house
without
in that neighborhood without seeing one of those signs. Cause like, I don't know where you live, but I know you live down here somewhere.
Yeah.
So you're going to know that I did this on day one.
Right. Right. And you know, thinking back to this, actually we littered the city with those signs. Like
littered,
like literally I remember driving around being like, oh, there's more of our signs. Like they were all over the place. Like we spent weeks putting these things up multiple times and
yep.
yeah, the city would take them down and you know, we got threatened with a fine, I think a few times, yeah. but I was like, well,
I got followed around in, I don't even remember where it was, but I had a guy take down like 15 of them right behind me.
Oh really?
Yeah. Right behind me. Cut the zip tie, took the sign down, threw it in the back of his truck. I was like, I should probably move on.
Yeah, just go to another community yeah. or whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I still remember. And some of them stayed up for quite a while. Like I remember driving around the city and just noticing our little signs, but you know, we'd put them in these locations, right? That were people would be stopping and it's like right there in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a little mini spots. Billboard.
It worked.
Yeah. It worked. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get you back doing some.
Listen, I've progressed.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Those were good times, but we spent a lot of time doing that.
Yeah. And it was necessary kind of at that time to really, elevate you know, the word of the courses and get it out there. I mean, it worked.
No social media at the time to speak of. I think maybe Facebook was
barely.
Maybe not even in existence, really.
I got to tell you, that might even be pre-smartphones for you and I. So, yeah, it was.
I think
you had to get out and pound the pavement,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that's,
we did.
That's what you had to do.
Yeah. So, no, that's great. Tell me some of the things you learned. Like, you know, this was kind of your first opportunity in a you know, quote unquote management position in the golf industry. You'd done some other things where you'd manage people, but you know what? Between the two of us, if one of us weren't there, it would have been an odd situation, right?
I don't know that the first couple of years for sure. I don't know if that ever happened. Right. That was one of those. And again, at that stage in life where I honestly didn't have much going on.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah, fine. I'll stay there all the day, every day. It's no problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the thing that I learned the most for those early years was, and I kind of always knew this about the golf industry, but that the relationships were everything.
Right.
That, even in a non-member scenario or limited member scenario for golf courses, that the relationships that you built through jokes, through kind of creating a light situation, potentially even making fun of somebody, not that we ever do that.
Right.
But, you know, to just kind of lighten that mood and create that, okay, this is actually a pretty decent, safe space.
Yeah.
That was really crucial, that you had to do that to succeed.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I think not to pump your tires too much because we would never want to do that on this podcast.
No.
But
yeah.
I think one of your strongest attributes is your ability to connect with people, right?
Yeah.
You remember names and faces really well. And that's kind of continued from day one and all the way up until now. You have got this great sense of making people feel welcome, you know, remembering those names and faces, the members gravitate to you. So, yeah, kudos to you for that, because I remember that from early on. And it's a tough thing to do, right? It's not something that can be taught. I think people can get better, but you kind of got that or you don't.
I would agree with that. Yeah. It is, and I'm sort of learning that now, where I'm trying to impart that knowledge onto the teams that I've got, you know, here at Bearspaw now. And my professional team, the guys who work, you know, directly with me,
yeah.
They're really good at that. And so that helps. But yeah, trying to impart that to the everyday, you know, the person who greets them out at the front and takes their bag and puts them on a cart, you know, that first interaction, trying to impart that. And that's it's a really good point. I'm really glad we got that on, you know, on record.
Yeah.
That you gave me kudos for that. I'm like
the first and last time.
So pumped.
We'll talk about that in a little bit too. let's move on a little bit, because there's a lot of things I want to talk about. I want to talk about, you know, how you transitioned through the organization, because I think that's interesting, and you know, the time, effort, and energy you spent. I want to talk about, you know, fortunately for us, we've also become really close friends. We've actually been out of town together many times, you know, even vacations. So probably some fun things we can talk about with that as well. And then, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the golf experiences we've had together. And then maybe a little bit of your memorable experiences. So maybe start with, you know, we started working together, and then, you know, slowly you moved up and moved to different courses. Talk a little bit about your timeline over the last kind of 13 years.
Yeah. So, I guess it would have been, like I said, 2009 when we started. So it would have been about 4 years at the first facility.
Yeah.
And then took a little break.
Yeah.
Took a little break.
Just for the record, Sam was fired once.
Took a little break. It was a sabbatical. A
little break.
Yeah, I was. I was fired once officially and probably 30 times.
I didn't actually I think I had to fire you, but it wasn't necessarily all my doing at all. I don't think you hold that one against me.
I don't. No, yeah. I don't. Yeah, well, no, I don't. No, you
that was kinda, pretty short term.
You kind of had my back throughout the whole thing. And, you know, and you knew that I was going to fit somewhere.
Right.
I just don't think that, you know, at that point I'd kind of reached the end of that position. But yeah, so that would have been like 2013. And then a few months later was when the purchase or the acquirement of the Hamptons Golf Club kind of came through. And that's where you thought I would best fit. And I think a lot of it came from that relationship building aspect.
For sure.
That, you know, there was going to be a group of people that needed someone to help the transition, and it's kind of where I fit in.
Yeah. You know, I wish we had Gordon here with us today, because I remember distinctly, I was like, I got this young guy, Gord, we need to bring him in. Members are going to like him. And I remember at the time, he's like, oh, we've got a really good team here and a nucleus of this team. And I just kept on being like, no, we're bringing this associate in. And obviously it's been a great fit, and you and Gord are close now as well. Very, obviously.
Yeah.
So you were at the Hamptons Golf Club. How long were you there?
Yeah. Hamptons would have been 2013 to 2020.
Right.
2019 would have been my last season at Hamptons. Seven memorable years there. That place has got some pretty special people through and through,
yeah.
From staff to members. So that was really kind of cut my teeth on how to navigate this industry a little bit. I mean, I turned professional the last year at the first facility.
Right.
And so my first year at Hamptons was my first full year as a golf professional with the PGA of Canada. So I didn't know anything. I didn't know anybody. And the Hamptons really kind of gave me some of those opportunities to really meet the people that helped forge this path that I'm on today. Right.
And I know you keep in touch with some of those members.
I do.
The private club and
you
know, a lot of them you keep in touch with, which is great.
It does. It evolves more to a friendship than it does a sort of a working relationship for people you see in passing by. One of the wonderful things about our industry. I mean, you do really get to know people.
Totally.
And so that's what I got from the Hamptons. So I really thoroughly enjoyed my time there, but you know, Gord was there and Gord's the head honcho and wasn't probably the place I was going to progress. And then again, come around to 2019 when Bears Paw Golf Club, came available. And again, it was one of those really interesting times to be a part of, to watch this club, kind of be acquired and kind of what that process was like. That was a new one for me. I've never been a part of anything like that. And then, fast forward to now, and this is the third season here where we're in this beautiful clubhouse and I couldn't be happier.
And, you know, a lot's changed in the last 2.5-3 years since, here at Bears Paw. I mean, this clubhouse, I mean, I think a lot of people know that Bears Paw went into receivership there's a group of us that purchased it, but this clubhouse was, I don't know, 50-60% complete.
It was a shell.
It was a shell, right?
There wasn't anything inside it, right?
Nothing at all.
You had the structural components and that was about it. to see it kind of, you know, doing 100 walkthrough tours of potential members and weddings, which is going to become a pretty major part of Bears Paw, and seeing it kind of progress from literally studs to this full finished product has been an experience.
Totally. Yeah. No, so good. So you've been here the last few years. That kind of gives the history of our time together.
I think I might've skipped over some stuff in the middle there.
Probably.
Yeah.
We had some fun, interesting little stints of different things that we did together, but those are the core components of how we've worked together for sure. Sam, tell me why you love the golf industry.
Oh, I mean, I've kind of talked about the main part for me is that relationship side of it.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, it just affords you so many opportunities to get out there and enjoy this. I mean, most people don't, I shouldn't say that, but most people don't really get a chance to do what they love for a living.
Yeah.
I think I can be fairly confident in saying that. And I really do.
Right.
And that's the over encompassing part of it. Like that's the major part, is I love what I do. I get up every morning and it might be 5:30 or 5:45 when I was strolling through the door, but you know, you're never getting up going, ugh, work. Right.
I get asked this a lot from people now, like career advice. And to me, my answer is always so simple. And I may have even talked about this before, but you've got to have passion and purpose, right? Like, can you imagine going to a place that you didn't enjoy every day and spending 8, 10, 12 hours on long day? Like,
no.
I can't even process that. You're spending more time at work than you are
with your family.
Yeah. And sleeping and anything else. Right. So.
Yeah, and that's it. You have to enjoy walking through these doors and know that what's coming throughout the course of the day is actually going to make you smile and happy. And there's going to be some times that, as in anything, that you're like, man, I could use a nap.
Right.
But it's been great. I mean, this industry has really afforded me a lot of opportunities. Travel.
Yeah.
Relationships is my biggest one. I mean, the stuff that I've been able to get from you know, knowledge base from advice from what to do in certain situations from the people that are around us every day has been, including you, surprisingly.
Right, right. Yeah, right. Let's talk a little bit about, we've had the opportunity, you know, I had a little bit of a back issue for a while, but we did play a fair amount of golf together, you know, a little, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago and then before that, and then we got out a couple times last year.
Yeah.
Tell me about some of the experiences we've had on the golf course.
Oh man. you know, golf wise, the ones that actually come back to me the most are from Elbow Springs days.
Yeah.
So
we went out there.
I don't know if for anybody who doesn't know this, you know, Barry and his family are heavily involved in Elbow Springs and we built it and designed it and started from the
main shareholder there. And we played a lot there.
So I remember, again, this is back when we, you know, maybe we didn't know what we know now and, you know, we're a little more courteous. But we used to show up in the parking lot and just be like, well, that hole looks free. And we just jump out. We go play. And I'm not like, that didn't happen once. I was like, that used to happen every day.
I was not trying to take any tee times. No, I was looking for gaps in the golf course.
I knew
in the
you were
course.
Being courteous. I knew what you were doing. The pro shop, on the other hand, was, where did you guys, how did you get done 9?
We started on 14.
Yeah, started on 5. So those ones were always like fond memories, like when we first started, cause it was like, and you know, working with somebody who loved the game that I love, it was like, okay, we're done. Like, it's not too busy. Tee sheet's dead. Let's go play. And I was like, oh, okay, good.
Right.
I like this. Those would be like the early days. I mean, I remember caddying for you in the club championships there once.
Oh, wow. I didn't remember that until you just said that.
You remember that?
That was a disaster.
That was a disaster. Yeah. Do you know why though? Because I was trying to be the good loop. I was trying to be the good loop and say, don't look at your phone. Okay, phone's not important right now.
The first 9 holes, I was great.
You were like 1 or 2 under.
Oh my gosh, I remember this now.
So you're like, you know, firing on all cylinders, and all of a sudden,
why did you take my phone from me? You said you were a good loop.
Yeah, as if anybody could do that. But yeah, I was like, don't look at it. It's fine.
Right.
Like, it's going to be fine. You're done in 2 hours. Not a big deal.
Oh, I remember.
And I remember
this
you
now.
Looked at the phone, and there was some kind of tournament scuffle. There was something that really got, you know, messed up.
Right.
And that was downhill from there. It was pure anger, not anger, but like, you know, you're like, oh, I can't believe this. Your mind was somewhere else. I think there was a club toss or two, you know, and then it just didn't, you know, it didn't really pan out. But that, you know, those days were the early ones were the ones I remember the most.
Right.
And then obviously having the opportunity to go play at Wilderness Club with you and we've, you know, if we're talking golf. I mean, we've had a chance to go down to Dallas, play down there a little bit. I mean, we had some pretty unique experiences there. We played Dallas, the Cowboys Club.
Yeah.
Right.
Dallas Cowboys Golf Club.
I don't really remember.
Did you play Vaccaro with us?
Yeah. Yeah. Played Vaccaro.
Yeah. Which is a discovery land proper. It was.
Really cool. So that's, I got a couple ones for that. So the Cowboys Club, and this isn't really about you, so it's fine.
No, it's
but
fine.
I like, again, Canada, you know, not really used to Southern states and what goes on down there and what potentially may be lurking in the bushes. But I remember playing like, I think around 16 or 17 or something like that and hit a pretty poor tee shot into the left trees. And I remember going over there being like,
okay.
Yeah, no, I know
sounds
you're
right.
usually over there, but that was me this time. And I remember being like, wow, there's a lot of golf balls in there.
Yeah.
Ah, it's pretty awesome. So I like traipsing through these bushes and I probably came out with like 30 Pro Vs. This is back, you know, when I needed golf balls.
Yeah.
And I came out, my legs are just destroyed from the bramble. And I'm like, what was I thinking? That was crazy. So we get back into the clubhouse and I tell the story. I didn't even tell the story. The guy in the golf shop sees my legs and he's like, tried to go for some balls, did you? And I was like, yeah, like on 17, he's like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? Like, it's okay. It'll be fine. He's like, no, like we have rattlesnakes everywhere. He's like, there's a reason there's 80 golf balls lined 6 feet into the trees. Nobody goes in there.
Right.
Like, well, okay. I should probably brush up on what I'm supposed to do down here.
Yeah.
You know, and then we played Vaccaro.
Yeah.
Really cool experience. That was probably my first ultra private golf experience.
Yeah.
And I know we came away from that event going like, wow, we should do this. We should have like the hot scented coconut towels on the first, whatever they had, right? And really cool. We played this ultra private course thanks to Mike Oliphant, I think, right?
Yeah.
Mike was the guy who kind of set that up. Yeah. And we ended up playing in front of Hank Haney, who was giving an on-course lesson.
I remember, right?
I think it was BJ Ryan,
yeah,
the pitcher for the Blue Jays, and Todd Hamilton, I think the Open champion winner.
I mean, this is for those that don't know this club,
crazy.
This is ultra exclusive. Like,
yeah,
we're in Dallas. Like, I know that Jason Witten lived in that community,
right?
Probably still does. A lot of other Cowboys, you know, kind of some of the rich and famous in that area live there.
Very cool. We had to play with the pro, right? We had four.
Yeah.
The pro had to come with us. We had five. So yeah, it was a really cool experience. That was one of the ones that was like, you know, and I think you got the dreamer eyes on, because you were like,
right.
Remember we went immediately when we went and looked at houses. We're like, maybe there's a house in here we can find. And so it was really cool trips, those ones. Those ones really stick out as being super memorable for me. Those ones where we, you know, we got to hang out in the early days. You weren't as busy as you are now.
Oh yeah. Well, we'll see. I'm trying to step back a bit, but every time I do that, I take one step backwards and two forwards, it feels like.
So. I think that's just in your nature.
Yeah. We could talk about golf stories all day long, especially playing together. There's no question about it. But I've got a question for you. What do you think the best part of your game is?
Oh, my own golf game. Not very long off the tee, so fairway finder is probably my strength. I don't usually get into too much trouble. If you're looking for me to be a match play partner and make a lot of birdies, I'm not your guy.
Yeah.
I might make a couple in a round, but I don't make a whole lot of bogeys or doubles or others either.
Right.
I should say that used to be my game when I played, you know, played quite a bit. As we get older, we find new aches and pains and reasons that excuses we use for playing as well as we used to. But I'd say the, you know, not getting into too much trouble would be my main strength, and then the short game has its moments.
Right. I would agree. And we played together last year a couple times. I think you got me both times. I'm gonna blame that on a 5 or 6 year hiatus. That won't happen again this year.
So I was able to take you down. It was nice. It's a good feeling.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens this year. But I would agree with you. I think consistency for you, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think, you know, generally pretty consistent. I can play a little bit more erratic than you probably. I probably can go lower if I really, I can make a lot of birdies, but I can shoot 82 in any given day too. Right?
Yeah, I'd say you're low. Like, your low round is going to beat my low round.
Right.
But your high round is definitely going to beat my high round.
That's based on last year. We'll see what happens this year.
I'm looking forward to it.
Hey. Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sam, any other stories or things that you can share about our time together? It's been a blast. We've been on vacation. We might have to do a second.
Yeah, we might have to do a part two.
Yeah, part two, yeah.
I think, you know, again, one of the things that people don't know potentially about you is the generosity side of things. Remember being down in Dallas when we had an extra couple of tickets to one of the Cowboys games when we were there. And we spent like an hour kind of going through the tailgating, you know, the section of the parking lot that doesn't go to the games.
Right.
You know, they kind of hang out and it was an incredible experience. And if anybody hasn't been to an NFL tailgate, I strongly suggest you take one in.
Well, a Cowboys one in particular.
Well, yeah, it's not a good idea to go to any Cowboys game wearing other teams' equipment, if I remember one of our colleagues doing. But we went through this tailgate party and the intent was to try to find a deserving or father-son combo, I think was our, or parent-child combo to be able to go to their first game. And I can still remember being in there and kind of seeing the look on the kid's face when you're like, hey, look, enjoy the game. Like, have fun. And the dad was like, what are you talking about? It's like, yeah, we've got these extra tickets. Head on down there. It's good. And that was a really cool experience for me because I've seen you do that a bunch of times and most people don't get a chance to see that. And then segues into my experience of that was when, you know, when we went on that cruise.
Right.
And you were like, listen, we got to get out of here. This has been a hectic year.
Yeah.
And this is probably one of the first ones at Hamptons, I think. It was, you know, the transition, the purchase, all the stuff was going on. And we ended up getting away on a cruise. And, you know, that experience for me was something like I would never have done that.
Yeah.
And
you loved it.
It was awesome. Yeah. I mean, I got a wristband that says I could consume whatever I wanted to consume. And I got to stop in about 4 tropical ports that I would never go to normally and
right.
hang out for the day. So yeah, it was a really cool experience.
Well, we've tried to, you know, not only myself, but through the organization, you know, do different things and not always in the public eye, but, you know, we think it's an important part, you know, what's good about, you know, people and humanity is being able to help out, right?
Yeah, giving back wherever you can, absolutely. In whatever way you can.
Yeah.
It's always been part of our working relationship, whatever right. it is, whether right. it's lessons here and there or as small as that or right. something as big as, you know, United Way Foundation
yeah.
campaigns and programs and
right.
that we used to do in the early days. So
yeah.
Yeah, giving back's crucial.
Well, you've been so kind. I was going to fire you at the end of this podcast, but I don't think I can do that now.
Yeah, I didn't say too much too bad, did I?
Well, Sam, thanks so much. I'm sure we're going to do this again.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a big year coming up. We're early spring here. Trying to get open late next week, I hope.
Yeah, that's the goal. Yeah, we're shooting for next week, and there's still some white stuff outside, but hopefully that goes away pretty quick. And then I'll see you in September.
Yeah. We're going to get out of golf this year.
We are going to play.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no question.
Yeah. So awesome.
Thanks again.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks so for much. Having me.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of the Swing Hard Podcast. If you're not subscribed, please do so. You can find us on all the major streaming channels. We'll see you next time.